This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now Ibn al-Qayyim continues on and speaks about the five types of people in the prayer when he, after mentioning the actions are of two types. And we talked about the action or the prayer, its acceptance is of two types. He moves on to talk about people in the salah are from maratib bin khamsa. There are five levels. The first of them he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, ahaduhuma martabatul zalimi li nafsihi al-mufarrit. وهو الذي انتقص من وضوئها ومواقيتها وحدودها وأركانها. He said, this first type with respect to the prayer is the one who has wronged his own soul. The one who has wronged his own soul and is negligent. And he is the one that reduces from his wudu and the time, from its wudu, the prayer, and also the timings and the limits and the requirements. So there's someone that probably doesn't even offer it, or they are very, very negligent in doing so. And he says, والثاني من يحافظ على مواقيتها وحدودها وأركانها الظاهرة ووضوئها لكن قد ضيع مجاهدة نفسه في الوسوسة فذهب مع الوسواس والأفكار. He says, the second type is the one who keeps its times, it preserves its times and its limits and its pillars and its wudu, meaning it, meaning the prayer. ولكن قد ضيع مجاهدة نفسه في الوسوسة. He said, but he lost the struggling of his self, that he was not victorious in the struggle, the jihad against his self, because it went with the waswasa, the waswas, the whisperings of Satan overpowered him or influenced him more than the mujahada, fighting himself. فذهب مع الوسواس والأفكار. So he goes along with the whispers of Shaitan, the whispers of Satan, and the afkar. If you remember earlier, Ibn al-Qayyim was talking about the afkar. Remember when he said Satan will come to him in two ways, and from them is that he will try to make him totally negligent of even praying, or negligent within praying. The second type, when he said negligent within praying, is where he mentioned it was a thought that you tried to retrieve that thought before the salah, and you couldn't remember, so you went and prayed. But during the prayer, that thought comes back to you, which causes your heart to be in that thought and takes you away from the mujahadat al-nafs, takes you away from being busy with thinking about what the prayer is supposed to do, which is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, wa aqim as-salata li dhikri, when he revealed himself to Musa, he told him, worship me, verily I have chosen you as a prophet. Innani anallahu la ilaha illa ana fa'budni. He said that verily I am Allah, so worship me. And then what? Aqima salata. For what reason? Li dhikri. For my remembrance. For my remembrance. So remembering something else other than Allah's beautiful names and attributes and its manifestation in your life is that which is from the afkar, these thoughts. And they don't have to be haram thoughts. Qala rahimahullah al-thalith. مَنْ يُحَافِظُ عَلَى حُدُودِهَا وَأَرْكَانِهَا وَجَاهَدَ نَفْسُهُ فِي دَفْعِ الْوِسْوَاسِ وَالْأَفْكَارِ فَهُوَ مَشْغُولٌ بِمُجَاهَدَةِ عَدُوِّهِ لِأَلَّا يَسْرِقَ صَلَاتَهُ. So this is the third type, and this is a higher level. He said it is the one that preserves its limits, its pillars, and he fights himself in the fights against the whispers of Satan and of those fleeting thoughts. So this individual is busy with fighting the enemy, so the enemy doesn't kidnap his prayer, doesn't steal from his prayer, doesn't take him on a trip with those thoughts that he has or that has come inside of the prayer. Notice that the afkar, these thoughts are there. They will come. This is how Satan will try to affect you. Sometimes we think that since we've entered the prayer, khalas, Satan has no way of coming into the prayer. No, Satan can still come and try to yasriq salatak. He will try to steal or take from your attentiveness in the prayer and rob you of your prayer. And then he concludes this third type by saying, فَهُوَ فِي صَلَاتٍ وَجِهَادٍ. So this individual is consistently in a sacred combat during the prayer. And this can happen a lot with those that are coming back to salat, that are coming back to the prayer. And they're in their stages of trying to be their best, but so many things are coming back to them because you just made a huge attempt to change your life and to try to be better and to do an action that requires undivided attention, but Satan is trying to come to you and influence that little amount of struggle that it took a long time for you to obtain. Or you had a moment that brought you to this moment to where you made it. You said Allahu Akbar. Many things on your way to the masjid, turning the television off, getting off the phone, you made it to the salah. But within that, you're struggling because you're trying to erase your thoughts, bad thoughts, or it's even good thoughts that you realize is distracting you. Satan will still try to come. So you're still trying to tujad nafsak. Literally in your salah, you're saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Or in your mind, you're thinking of that television show, you're thinking of that person, you're thinking of that location that you were at, or what you were supposed to buy from the store, or whatever it may be, and you transition back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how he saved you from that person, how he saved you from doing these things. You remember a name of Allah, that he is Ar-Razzaq. He provided you with this iman, and you made the right choice. So that's the mujahada. That's the struggle. And Allah loves the struggle. And then he mentions الرَّابِعُ إِذَا قَامَ إِلَى صَلَاتِهِ أَكْمَلَ حُقُوقَهَا وَأَرْكَانَهَا وَحُدُودَهَا وَاسْتَغْرَقَ قَلْبَهُ مُرَاعَاتُ حُدُودِهَا وَحُقُوقِهَا لِأَلَّا يُضَيِّعَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا. He says, the one that establishes or stands in the prayer and completes its rites, its pillars, and its limits. And then he says, the taking care of the prayer or taking care or taking into high consideration those limits and its rights is that which overpowers his heart and fills his heart. He's so concerned with doing the right thing. He's so concerned with fulfilling the essential elements and his limits to where his heart is absorbed in safeguarding the prayer. And then he says, لِأَلَّا يُضَيْعَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا, to where nothing is lost. He's not neglecting any reward or any action or thought that can take away from that reward. He's very diligent in this. And then he says, بَلْ هَمُّهُ كُلُّهُ مَصْرُوفٌ إِلَىٰ إِقَامَتِهَا كَمَا يَنْبَغِي وَإِكْمَالِهَا وَإِتْمَامِهَا. He said, rather, his whole concern, his entire concern becomes performing the prayer as it should be, and with completely and perfectly. That is his concern. This is a high level, and this is a level that we should strive to get to. Now, know that, you know, you may be at level one or may have been at level one when you weren't practicing, and now you're at level two. Hopefully, you're level three, aiming to get to level four. So we see the distinction is that this individual, his primary concern in the prayer is trying to do it perfectly and completely to where your heart is filled. استغرق قلبه شأن الصلاة. So his heart is completely concerned with the prayer. وَعُبُودِيَّةُ رَبِّهِ فِيهَا, and his servitude of Allah. And this is what is beautiful, that his heart is totally filled with the affair of the prayer, number one. And then he says, وَعُبُودِيَّةُ رَبِّهِ فِيهَا, and his servitude of Allah in it. And this is what's interesting. شَأْنُ الصَّلَاةِ here could be the affair of the prayer, meaning that he fulfills the pillars and the actions that are non-obligatory. So, for example, they say Subhanallah more than three times or more than once in some of the schools of thought. When he increases himself in the certain supplications and invocations in prayer. You know that there's sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would say Allahu Akbar, Subhanaka Allahumma bi rabbik, tabarak ismuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. That glory to Allah, glorified is your name, tabarak ismuk wa ta'ala jadduk, that your name is blessed and your authority is exalted. So when you're saying that before even reciting Fatiha, it is a way to prepare you mentally, which can ultimately transcend and fill and enrich your heart to keep your attention undivided. So these adhkar is that which causes your heart to be enriched and full of remembrance. So when one does that, that is when they reach this fourth level. That is a way of memorizing what the Prophet ﷺ said and the additional acts outside of the arkan, the obligatory acts. Then he mentions here, Al-Khamis, Man إِذَا قَامَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامَ إِلَيْهَا كَذَلِكَ ولكن مع هذا قد أخذ قلبه ووضعه بين يدي ربه عز وجل ناظرا بقلبه إليه. So he says, the fifth one is that he does everything in the fourth, but مع هذا, in this situation, he took his heart and placed it in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He placed it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says here, ناظراً بقلبه إليه, looking at him with his heart, vigilant before him, filled with love and glory. And that's when he says here, مراقباً له, ممتلئاً من محبته وعظمته, that his heart is filled with monitoring and being aware of Allah's presence. And it's filled with his love and glory. He says, Allahu Akbar. He's diligent of what's obligatory, fine. He's diligent of the general servitude that I'm supposed to do this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to. And I love the fact that I'm doing it and I'm trying my best to do it completely and perfectly. But this level, it's all of that, but his heart is totally broken and, for lack of better words, given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to where his attention, it is far from being undivided, to the degree that he may not even be aware of what's around him. That's how deep this prayer becomes to him. It is going to be very hard for something to distract him away from this state. Recognizing the glory of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the bounty of Allah. And again, one of the strongest ways of doing this is to recognize his names and attributes, the beautiful names that he has. So when you say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Bismillah Ar-Rahman, Alhamdulillah, Allah is Al-Hamid. He is praiseworthy for all things. What he has given for me, for my family, for my intellect, my health, my wealth, and he can easily take it away. He's praiseworthy because of that. Not praiseworthy for what he's given me and what he has taken away. Alhamdulillah, no problem. No. I praise him for every single thing that I encounter because he wants what's best for me. Therefore, he deserves praise. So that is when the heart becomes full. And you think of the greatness of creation and know that Allah is greater than it, or the greatness of a situation and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that put it there for divine wisdom. And you trust in that wisdom and you ask as-sabur to make you patient if it is something that has trialed you. This is how your heart becomes full with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his greatness. Then he says, كَأَنَّهُ يَرَاهُ وَيُشَاهِدُهُ. It is as though he sees him and he witnesses him. وَقَدْ مَحَلَّتْ تِلْكَ الْوِسْوَاسُ وَالْخَطَرَاتُ. So this whispers of Satan and fleeting thoughts have vanished. And what's so beautiful about Ibn al-Qayyim is in his writing, it is as though he is telling you the process. Like, this will happen, and because this will happen. So, everything in the fourth has happened. You come into prayer, you're attentive, you're trying your best to do it perfectly and attentively and completely. But then you reach a point to where your heart is full. You start to think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is as though you see his greatness. Have you ever looked at something like a mountain or a situation, and your heart is just filled with the grand event, the moment? Like, you remember the smells at that time. You remember what you were wearing. That is you encapturing the moment and being present at that moment. That's what he's talking about. You're encapturing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment. When you reach this level, there is no room for whispers of Satan. There's no room for any fleeting thought. That's the euphoric state, some would may call it. He says, وَارْتَفَعَتْ حُجُبُهَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّهِ. And the veil is lifted between him and Allah. Glory be to him. And he says, فَهَذَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ غَيْرِهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ أَعْظَمُ مِمَّا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He says, so this situation between this individual and the other individuals, maybe the other four levels, in this situation of prayer is greater than the distance between the heavens and the earth. Showing this is a high level. This is the top level. He says, وَهَذَا فِي صَلَاتِهِ مَشْغُولٌ بِرَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ قرير العين به. He says, for he is occupied only with his Lord the Almighty in prayer, in which he finds his source of gladness. So this is beautiful from Ibn al-Qayyim when he mentions these types of people in their prayer. And then he kind of sums it up altogether when he says, Rahimullah ta'ala, فالقسم الأول معاقب والثاني محاسب والثالث مكفر عنه والرابع مثاب والخامس مقرب لأن له نصيبا ممن جعلت قرة عينه في الصلاة. He says here, of the five persons, the first will be punished, the second admonished, the third redeemed, the fourth rewarded, and the fifth brought near to his Lord. He says, brought near to his Lord, for his source of gladness has been placed in the prayer. فَمَنْ قَرَّتْ عَيْنُهُ بِصَلَاتِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا قَرَّتْ عَيْنُهُ بِقُرْبِهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And then he says here, and whoever is gladdened by the prayer in this world will be gladdened by his nearness to his Lord in this world and the next. And that is so important. Because remember, Ibn al-Qayyim was talking about those that find a burden in the prayer. And they find their raha, or their means of tranquility outside of the prayer, to where the prayer in and of itself can serve as a distraction from that which they find peace in. And subhanAllah, this is a huge test for those that may find their tranquility in drugs, in drinking, in the voice of a loved one, a person, in a device, in a place, to where when they are told that they have to divert their attention from that to something that requires their utmost attention, it becomes a distraction. And this ultimately goes back to what is your allegiance and love truly to what? This is why understanding and knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is paramount, because this type of situation, these are examples of that which branch off from that aqidah, that belief, that tawheed. And that's what he mentions here, subhanAllah. Whoever finds gladness in this will find gladness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. وَقَرَّتْ عَيْنُهُ أَيْضًا بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. And he will be glad in this life. He will find gladness in God and gladness in others. وَمَنْ قَرَّتْ عَيْنُهُ بِاللَّهِ قَرَّتْ بِهِ كُلُّ عَيْنٍ. And then he also said here, whoever finds the gladness by the nearness of his Lord in this world and the next, he who finds gladness in God, gladness in others in return. But whoever does not leaves the world as a loser. And that's what he says. وَمَنْ لَمْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى تَقَطَّعَتْ نَفْسُهُ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا حَسَرَاتْ. He will leave this world in no gladness. He will leave this world, subhanAllah, as one of those that are the losers. So again, this serves as the ultimate foundation. Now, one way to say, okay, I find gladness in things, but I mean, and I don't pray. Well, we say that gladness is something that is temporary that you may face in this life. Because make no mistake, the ultimate source of happiness is your connection with your Creator. And struggling to find that connection is struggling to maintain the richness of contentment, which could be synonymous with happiness. The richness of contentment, which could be synonymous with happiness. And I think contentment is much more of a befitting word to use. Why? Because when your grandmother passes away, when your young child passes away, you're not exactly happy and elated and glad, but you are content at the moment. You are content. And that contentment is the anchor and source for your happiness, because that contentment will make you pleased with what Allah has predestined, to where when you look at a photo of him or someone mentions his or her name, you are happy. Why? Because you eventually have had closure and you realize that that child, that person, inshallah, is with their Lord. Their nafsun mutma'inna, their tranquil soul has returned to Allah, pleased with him and him being pleased with it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that are pleased with the predestination. And may he make us of those that preserve our prayer and that are attentive to his greatness, and that allow us to be of those that worship Allah as though we see him, though we do not see him, know that he sees us. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.